Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just encourage your neighbor and tell them, wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity now to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can.
Thank you, Lord God.
Let him prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirit for what you have to say to us. And then reveal the principles so that we might practice them and profit truly as you desire us to do. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we just want to commence reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And it simply says, judge not that ye be not judged. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Judge not that ye be not judged. I just want to ask the question this morning, are you qualified to judge? Are you qualified to judge? The man who is speaking this word, Jesus the Christ, is literally saying to the believer that you must not engage in the judging business. Let me say from the outset, from the beginning of this message, that we are called and required to love men, not judge men. Loving is our job, judging is God's job. Let me ask a question to you, and I want you to answer this in the truth of your own heart. Have you ever seen someone, and before ever talking to them, before ever finding out all facts about them, you made a judgment call about them and discovered you were wrong? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you to be real with yourself. Now, I want to ask this question. Have you ever done it more than once? Well, I want to ask this question. Have you done it more than three times? Then it's likely that you don't have all the qualifications necessary to judge folk. One of the reasons why that Jesus speaks this way to the believers, this is a part of the historic Sermon on the Mount that begins in the 5th chapter of Matthew and concludes in the 7th chapter. And this is literally Jesus teaching principles and points and doctrines about how we ought to operate in this earth realm under this dispensation of grace. Now, Jesus himself was making it clear he didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So what he's literally saying is, let me give you now, as I fulfill the Old Testament, as I fulfill the old law, a set of new laws. And so everything that he's saying now is revolutionary to those who are functioning under the Old Testament codes. And so Jesus is saying some things now that literally brings them to a new point of thinking, a new point of reference, a new way of operating. And so he starts off the 7th chapter and the 1st verse by saying, judge not. And then he makes clear, here's one of the most important reasons why you ought not judge other folk, that ye be not judged. Don't judge others, because when you judge others, you bring yourself into the spotlight of judgment. Look at what verse 2 goes on to say, and we'll walk back through these and see what the Spirit will bring out for us. Verse 2 says, for with what judgment ye judge, which means all of the particulars you use in your operation of judging others will be used in judging you. If you judge with no compassion, no compassion will be judged in your case. If you judge without getting all the facts, then you'll be judged without all the facts being gotten in your case. If you judge with a critical eye, then when you are judged, you'll be judged with a critical eye. If you judge because you don't like folk, then folk that don't like you will judge. See, it literally puts it in the same framework of your judgment. But look at what it goes on to say. It says, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, with the intensity, with the firmness, with whatever level, whether you do it with a soft heart or with a hard heart, however you meet it out, however you give it out, God's going to allow that same level to be used in return in judging you. For after all, you're the judge. I'm sure it's a right standard. Y'all catch that on your way home. So if you don't mind judging that way, then you don't mind being judged that way. Now look at verse 3. It says, and why beholdest thou the mote, that speck, that small little thing that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, the board, the log that is in thine own. I can tell right now this ain't gonna be no shouting message. The spirit of conviction is already in this place. Look at verse 4. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Verse 5, thou hypocrite. Lord, have mercy on all of us today. Now, I'm going to go back and deal with that, but let me just bring this out right quick. Thou hypocrite. Here's what the Lord really wants us to understand about judging. The only person who was qualified to judge on earth was the one who was sinless. The end result to judging should be that you who would be in a position to judge righteous must be righteous, which means that you are without sin, which means that you have no need nor desire to point out somebody else's faults, sins, and shortcomings so as to keep the focus off of your own. Hypocrite, because it literally means that you are not perfect, and because you are not perfect, you do not qualify to judge as one who is perfect. So when he says, thou, you hypocrite, look at what he says. First, get your own self right. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now listen at this. It literally, even in the end, and I want you to see this as well, because most times when we judge folk, it's with a view toward condemnation, not toward correction. You see, most times folk, when they judge us, they want to literally, really condemn us. But see, here's what he's saying. When you get it right and you see something wrong with somebody else, your purpose then in seeing what you see is not to hurt them or to harm them, but to help them. You can then see clearly to get then that speck out of their eye after you've gotten that big old beam. But here is the problem. You'll spend so much time getting yourself together that little speck will fade away in your brother's eye by the time you're through taking care of you. So let's go back through the text and let's look at it again, because verse 1 and 2 literally talks about criticism in judging. It says literally, when it says judge not, it means don't criticize, and then you won't be criticized. For others will treat you as you treat them. There are three things I want to show you about what they're saying about this criticizing or judging. First of all, this judging or criticism is a lack of Christian maturity. It's a lack of Christian maturity. It's usually folk who just come to that place where they are in Christ and they've gotten rid of a lot of things out of their lives, and they're trying to live right and they're trying to do right. And then when they see somebody else who's doing something that they were doing or something that they shouldn't be doing, they then get sanctimonious and holier than thou, and they forget God ain't through with them yet. And so they start pointing out the shortcomings and the faults, and the judging, criticizing, and spirit of criticism rest upon their shoulders, as if to say, just because they've been halfway clean, it puts them in a position to judge others who are not as clean as them. And that's a problem of immaturity in their Christianity. But there's another thing I need you to see when it tells about, you know, criticism and judgment. Criticism shows a lack not only of Christian immaturity, but it shows a lack of self-control. You see, my brothers and sisters, because we are not perfect, it's clearly easy to point out somebody else's fault because our eyes point outwards. And the first tendency is to look out rather than to look within. See, you look without with your eyes, but you look within with your spirit. Your heart is too deceptive. Your heart will tell you you're right, you got it together, you okay, all the rest of that, you ain't as bad as somebody else, so you can't trust your heart. Jeremiah 17:9, it's desperately wicked. So don't even trust looking at it through the spirit. And your spirit has to line up with the word of God. And it's not going to lie to you, because it has to bear witness to the truth. And that spirit is going to deal with and dwell with the spirit of the living God, which will confirm what is right or what is wrong underneath the skin. And most times it's just a lot easier to look out with the natural eye and see shortcomings and mistakes and mess ups of others rather than looking at our own self. And so it shows a lack of self-control, because what we literally do is judge others before we've even run an analysis on ourselves first. I might have been okay yesterday, but today is a whole nother day. And where I am today is a different place from where I was yesterday. But if I don't learn how to control my tongue and my mouth and my eyes and my concerns, then I would generally try to find somebody who's worse off than me to make myself look good. Listen, here's what I know. When I start criticizing, I know that those to whom I criticize about or others who know when I criticize others may know some things about me. So I've got to then be critical enough to say their sin, because I know they may know I've got some shortcomings. So I've got to say something that's worse than what my situation is, for they start looking at me while I'm looking at them. So it shows a lack of concern. But there's another thing it does. It shows a lack of concentration. Our concentration is not where it ought to be. And that's on us, because we're responsible for us. Not to concentrate on our brother and sister and their shortcomings and their faults. Yes, we all have them. Yes, we all have got to take a good look at ourselves. Yes, we all have got to look at and realize that if we judge ourselves, the Word says we will not be judged.
Right.
So there are some things we've got to look at where we fall short at and deal with them from the perspective of correcting them for ourselves, so that those things won't be brought upon us. Listen, can I tell you 9 out of 10 times there's nobody on planet Earth who's really more harder on you when you're really about getting it right than you are? I mean, when you realize sometime when other folk judge you, they don't even judge you really critical enough, because you know you from the inside out. They just know you from the outside. And so how many times have you judged yourself and your situation, and others were far less critical than you, and you were harder on yourself? Well, you see, here's the truth of the matter. Because you know you better than anybody else in the natural realm, you have the ability to be more real with you than anybody else in the natural realm. How many times in my coming up and in my speaking, and even in modern days and recent days, if I've desired to speak because I know the preparation, the time, and all that I place in preparing to make a word relevant to the people of God, and somehow when I've gotten through, I feel like I've missed the mark, didn't quite hit the target on the bulls. I knew I had so much more I wanted to say. Knew that while it might have been good, I was looking for great. And all that, somebody said, oh, that was good. And all went on. Oh, you just being too hard on yourself. Well, if I don't, because I really know better, then it's not going to put me in a position to do better next time. You see, because if I let folk hold me to mediocrity, then I'll never reach, push, and excel for greatness. So if you know it's not your best, you ought to be the one who realized that the concentration ought to be from within and not from without. But there's something else I want you to see. Verse 3 deals with the concern in judging. Because verse 3 says, and why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Why are you really concerned about judging that mote that's in your brother's eye? Is it really to help him or her see right? Have you ever gotten a speck in your eye? I mean, and it may bother and irritate you, and that may be the thing that's the most difficult to deal with, but it really doesn't blind you. It doesn't really stop you from seeing. It may irritate you momentarily. And if you work that eye enough and get it together or flush it out, that'll be gone. But what is really the motive for seeing that close? Now listen at this. If I'm looking that close in your eye, if I'm looking that close in your eye, then what am I really looking for? See, really many times, again, the illusion is to find something that we can point the finger at. Find something that's just not right. Find something. You know how some people have it together? You know it looks like they got it all together, but you know ain't nobody got it all together. So it literally means to magnify, to try and find something that's not obvious. Nobody's perfect. We know nobody's perfect, so somebody's got some issue somewhere. So sometimes what you cannot see with the regular view of a person must be put under a microscope, which magnifies what it is you're focusing on until you find what you're looking for. And it may be so small and insignificant that it says you spent more trouble and more time looking for something than what you found. I told you it wasn't going to be no shouting sermon. But listen at this. Here's what you need to see. That seeing the mote, the small wood splinter, that little bitty thing, in a brother's eye, but not seeing the beam, the log that's in your eye, means that you are seeing another's sin. That's the whole purpose for you looking that close. I want to find something on them. I want to discover something about them. Listen, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep yourself pure. Don't waste your time trying to get somebody else together and you're not together. Keep yourself pure. Make sure you concentrate on getting you together, because you're going to be responsible and accountable for you and for nobody else. Listen to this, because it's important. It literally means seeing another's slackness. Slackness. All of us have got slackness in some area or another area of our lives. Now, here's what we usually do. When we look for that mote or that slackness in other folk, it's usually out of the arena of our strengths. So, in other words, when we start looking for something, it's generally where our weakness isn't. See, we feel strong and we can judge somebody because I do this and I do that and I do the other, and these are my strong points and this is where I'm good at. But why won't I judge them in the places of my weakness? Because it means then I know wholeheartedly and consciously that I'm not worthy to judge anybody else, because I need to strengthen up those areas that are weak in my own life. So when I look for something, I'm generally looking from the arena of my strengths. And so my concern really isn't about seeing if you are together, but my real concern is seeing where you are weak at. And so that's why when we look at this concern for judging, it's hypocritical. I want you to see again, there's the condemnation and judging. Verse 4, again, it says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, focus in now, a beam is in thine own eye. Now, a mote, a little small splinter, can't really stop you from seeing. But I want you to do me a favor right quick. Just take your hand and put it over your eyes closely. Now, how many of you can see through your hands with your fingers closed? Because somebody be like, I can see. Now, listen, I'm being a bit funny here, but I want you to understand the point. If there is a person with a little small speck that cannot block the vision, and you've got a beam, something so wide, a log, something so big that it totally consumes your ability to see, how then are you able to, with precision, pick out a speck when you ain't even got no vision, less known impaired vision? At least with impaired vision, you can see something. But when you have no vision, how can you accurately go in and pick out a speck? How many times when you've had a speck in your eye and you've told someone close to you that you trust and you're right, say, look, do you see something in my eye? And they'll pull your eyelid up and you roll your eye around. You know, mama used to do that for me, and then she'd blow. I mean, maybe your mama ain't never did that enough. You know, and if not, and that didn't work, then the next thing would be to flush it out. And yet, listen at this. The whole point that we're making in the text is that we're not qualified if we have not first taken care of ourselves. Check yourself out first. Now listen at this. When you have a beam, a board, a log in thine own eye. My brothers, my sisters, I believe this is, again, another wake-up call. Because with what judgment we measure, it's coming back the same way. And we've got to repent for what we've already done in the judging business in an arena that we're not qualified to judge in. The devil is going to hoodwink many of us and cause us to come under condemnation for the judgment we have placed on others. And know that, listen to this, it is coming back to us again. And the problem may be that when it gets back to us, we may not have time to fix the problem. Because see, some people are going to keep on judging and think it's not coming back to them. But when it comes, even if you lay down and die, you got to know you're going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. There is coming a time where all that you have judged is going to come back up again. And you are going to be judged by the righteous judge who is going to judge you with all righteousness. And therefore, he's going to apply the same technique, the same terms, the same statute, the same standard that you have applied in each judgment case. And when he judges with the standards you have set, the question is going to be, were you qualified to judge? Because when God says, I'm only using your standards, what will you be able to say? You don't know the person's situation that you're judging. You don't know what they deal with, what they've dealt with, where they've come from, what they've walked through, where they are, what they feel, how they do, what they know. You don't know any of that. You're just judging based on your limited perspective and your fragmented view. And so it doesn't qualify you to make a judgment call that God himself will use against you when it's time for your judgment. Verse 5, and I'm closing. Because verse 5 deals with the cleansing from judging. It says, thou hypocrite, that's personal. He's not talking about anybody else. He's talking about you. He says, thou hypocrite, he's talking about me. Thou hypocrite, he's talking about a personal inventory of one's own self. Look at yourself first. You must cleanse your own life before you seek to cleanse anybody else's. Thou hypocrite. When it's all said and done, no matter what is undone in your life, that little undoneness disqualifies you to stand in a righteous place and make a judgment that you are not totally righteous to make. Thou hypocrite. You are looking at something you can see, but you have cloaked and clothed and covered your own sin. Thou hypocrite. While there may not be visible marks or signs of your sin, David says we deal with secret sins. Thou hypocrite. When you get to the point where you think that nobody knows what your secrets are, I've got news for you. Somebody knows what you did last year, last summer, last month, last week, last night. And I'm going to throw this helpful holy hint out to you. It ain't just the Lord. Oh, y'all catch that when you wake up. And so he says, thou hypocrite. Man, that ought to just ring a bell underneath. Thou hypocrite. And you know when he's speaking to the Pharisees and those who were of the most religious sect of people, man, that cut deep underneath the skin. Because they were good at pointing out the sins of others, the shortcomings of others. It's not far from this that Jesus literally uses the same point and principle when the woman was brought to him who was caught in adultery. And the self-righteous folk, the folk, listen, I know they had beams in their eyes because the record is they caught the woman in adultery, but they only brought one person. Now, if they didn't have a big beam, they would have seen it was two. But because they had a big board in their eye, they didn't see the man.